What kind of pants do you wear? Are you wearing space pants?
No.
Because your butt's out of this world!
This is Stranger Still.
Does that work?
Wait, the music didn't start. I thought the music didn't start. Oh, wait. I guess that wasn't good enough.
That wasn't the one then.
Let's just play it anyway.
Stranger Still. This is our ASMR video for...
You need to be more whispery.
Whispery.
I'm just gonna
cut in here. Some more.
Let me just touch your ears.
And I got the tingles. I don't like that.
Let me touch it.
I'm gonna tingle your ears. I'm gonna tingle your ears. Like the most attractive voice.
We should make an ASMR cast.
We should do... Wow. It's like Gilbert Godfrey doing ASMR.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna run my fingers through your head. I was in Aladdin. When you think of jeans, you think of...
My mama and my papa.
I meant, what color do you... I should have been more specific.
Oh, they're white.
White jeans?
My parents?
I can't keep a straight face. So, what I was getting at was, when you think of pants, jeans, not genetics jeans, what color do you think of?
Blue.
That's correct. Here's your gold star.
Ooh.
I'm going to put it on your chart over here. Congratulations. Now you've got 7 gold stars. You get a toy from the toy chest. So, John, you actually brought this question to me. You wanted to know why our jeans are blue.
Yeah.
Well, how did you come up with this question?
I know America's weird.
Yeah.
I thought there might be some weird reason that we chose blue.
Yeah.
Plenty of other colors.
So you're just curious. You're just generally curious.
Yeah.
Gotcha. This is kind of unrelated, but I know that some people get really mad. I don't, because I know that people, like, their mind slips sometimes. But some people will get really up in arms when people say ATM machine.
Mm-hmm.
Because automated teller machine. Or, like, PIN number. Personal identification number.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
You've never heard this? Like people get mad when you say denim jeans, you're saying jeans. So denim jeans basically means pants. Yeah. So when someone says put on your denim jeans, they're saying put on your pants.
Yeah.
And then you can do the pants dance. So John, we're going to start with a history lesson.
All right.
So back in the Middle Ages, so somewhere between the 6th and I think 15th or 16th centuries, there were two similar fabrics being made in two different cities. There's one fabric being made in and shipped from, I hope I'm saying this right, Genoa, Italy, called...
It's pronounced quinoa.
Quinoa?
It's quinoa.
Spelled the same.
It's not Genoa. It's quinoa.
It's not a Q.
It's an ancient grain.
Anyway. They called this material, I'm going to say this so wrong, Jen.
What?
You think I was saying John?
What? Oh, yeah.
They called it Jen. It was actually spelled G-E-N-E-S, like your genetics, genes. That's very likely where we got the word genes from Jen.
Yeah.
But there are some people that contest this, even though it's like Jen to Jean. You're right there. You're a step over the fence. And you've got the word. But people contest that for some reason.
Yeah, hey, it's one leg in.
One leg out.
I'll tell you that.
Okay. Then there's a town in France. It was a town called Nimes, spelled N-I-M-E-S, like dimes, but pronounced Nimes. And they started to produce a fabric called Serger, S-E-R-G-E-S. But I think it's pronounced Serger.
Serger. We like some Serger for your naked legs.
For your naked legs. So this actually came from people in France trying to replicate the jeans from Italy.
Well, the jean was so hot right now.
It's so hot right now. But as they were shipped out, people would refer them to the Sergers as basically Serger from Nimes or in French, that'd be Serge Denims.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's where we get the word denims. When it came into our Anglo ears, we had to make it Anglo, so we made it denim. Pretty right. cool, huh? Now do you see why it's redundant? We've got jeans from Italy and denims from France. So by the time the 19th century hit, both of these fabrics, like, a bunch of years had passed, so they evolved to basically be the same exact thing. Oh, they became one.
They bonded.
They married. Basically, before they were, one of them had like three materials, like wool and stuff, and then one of them had like two different materials. And now, in the 1800s, they were all cotton, nothing else. So they're basically the same material.
Yeah.
So none of this answers your question, but it is important for two reasons. First of all, because of the dyes at the time during the 1800s, a lot of them were rare and expensive, a lot like spices. The rare ones were really expensive.
Yeah.
And became like a symbol of nobility. And then the second reason is because of nobility's power at the time.
Yeah.
We've already talked a lot about nobility.
Right.
So like I said, back in the day, some dyes were pretty expensive. And the more expensive dyes were prized by nobility. I think a lot of people, the more common instance of this is purple. Like purple is really expensive. So there's like the royal purple out there and stuff like that. But blue wasn't necessarily readily available either. They had to get it from a plant called woad. W-O-A-D.
Woad.
They would take these leaves and compact them to the point where it kind of looked like blocks of rock. And it took a lot of this stuff to make the dye. And when they did use it as dye, it was a really faint blue. It wasn't even that vibrant. So eventually, some shipments started coming over from India around this time. Just like the spice trade, we all know that that's where, like, the India, it's in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, the West Indies Trading Company or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. Like, they had all these things coming over, and they actually introduced Europe to a little plant called indigo.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was really cheap. It took about half the amount of indigo than it took woad to dye clothes, so it would take your dyes in half, and it was more vibrant.
Was it like closer? Like they didn't have to travel as far for it, or?
Well, it was from India, so it was a ways away.
Sure.
But
it's the woad less traveled.
The woad less traveled. So India brought this indigo over, cut the amount needed in half and made it more vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they were also bringing over cheap cotton, because cotton wasn't necessarily cheap, but they were bringing it over from India and it was super cheap. So they brought over this indigo and the cotton at the same time. And since it was there at the same time, they just started using them to make the denim jeans. A little quick piece of trivia. There was a German king in the 1400s, since a lot of these dyes were prized by nobility, there was a king that outlawed the use of indigo because he didn't want it to lose its value. So he made it illegal to use indigo in your clothes. This was like 400 years before we're talking now. But he ended up calling it the devil's color, outlawed it, and then around the 1800s, everyone kind of opened their eyes to how good it was, finally, 400 years later, and then they legalized indigo again and started using it.
Wow.
Quick recap. We're in the 1800s. Jean and denims are basically the same thing at this point. We're just going to call them jeans from here on out. Now, indigo is a go, once again. See what I did there? So they're using it to make some jeans. And this made it accessible to everyone, which they really loved, because it actually gave people the luxury of having their clothes in, quote, the color of nobility.
Yeah, and hey, it pissed off the man.
You come into my kingdom. You're stealing my blues.
you come into my house, and you're going to tell me.
On the day of my daughter's wedding.
The day of my daughter's blue jeans.
So here's kind of the I kind of already answered a little bit, but here's a small answer to your question, why are blue jeans blue? And it's because those shipments came in with the blue dye, the cheap blue dye and the cheap cotton, and they started making them together.
Why did they have to dye them?
That's a good question. I assume because just regular cotton's ugly.
I mean, would they be like white jeans?
Yeah.
Probably look pretty neat.
So that's just a little nugget of an answer, but I doubt that has convinced you that that's why this long-standing tradition of blue jeans has prevailed for 200 years. I can do math. Have I convinced you that that's the reason?
That they're blue?
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy it. There's going to be a little catch.
You shouldn't, because that's definitely not enough to solidify it in our culture. You know what else happened in the 1800s?
everything bad.
Well, industrialization, you know, pollution of the air, killing people. A lot of bad things did happen, but what else happened?
Genes.
Well, genes did happen. That's what the last however many minutes have been.
My grandfather used to wear a shirt that said genes happen.
Did he?
No.
Oh. So in 1848, the gold rush started. So if memory serves, though, there weren't actually a lot of miners that, and I'm not talking about people under the age of 18. I'm talking about gold miners.
Okay. Got it.
Not a lot of miners come to mind that actually made a lot of money on gold. It was mostly the people that were selling dry goods or had bars or hotels out in the West that were making the money.
Wait, hold on. But like, how could they own a hotel if they're a miner?
No. Gold miners.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. Gold under the age of 18 years.
Right.
I'll give you one guess as to who made it big in their pants out in the West in 1848. That definitely came out wrong.
That's a really personal question. But why don't you go ahead and tell me?
That's right, John. It was Levi Strauss, who was famous for selling dry goods at the time. He sold beds, and he was a wholesaler of dry goods out in the West.
How come you never hear about anybody selling wet goods?
Because I think that's...
Get your soggy waffles. Come on down, everybody. 2 for a nickel. Get your pre-soaked, sweaty shirt. Worn by the mystical man. The magic.
Probably. There's a little asterisk after that. Just ignore that.
Not enough of a market for wet goods, I guess.
I guess not. There's another man that's lost to history that goes by the name of... I can't remember. He's lost to history. Just kidding. His name was Jacob Davis, who was actually... He actually invented the riveting on your jeans, of your pockets and stuff, and it helped make a much more durable jean, and you saw a big market out there for durable jeans as people are going through these gold mines. But he didn't have any money. Luckily, there's this rich guy in town selling beds and tents and jeans. But they weren't very good jeans. That guy was Levi Strauss. And he actually patented the riveting for Jacob Davis and now has basically taken credit for Jacob Davis's legacy.
Wow.
Levi, reportedly, and this is contested elsewhere, but he had been selling fabrics that it kind of sounds like they were like the Carhartt material. Do you know what those coats are? Do they have those out in New York?
We don't have, I mean, I guess people do.
They're like those really thick, burlappy kind of coats. Yeah. It sounded like that, but they weren't as durable as Carhartt. But because of these riveted jeans, he started importing denim from Italy and France because they were happening at the same time. He kept selling these other pants alongside of his blue jeans, but these miners found that every time they washed their pants, they got somehow more and more comfortable. They almost molded to their butts, is what they said back then. Like it was like wearing a second skin. And they were more durable than his other pants, so he just kind of stopped selling the other ones.
Well, you don't work all day in the mines to to not be able to show your butt off afterwards.
Right. Your butt's going to look great.
Fantastic. Almost as good as your lungs look bad.
But these blue jeans became a staple of the Wild West in the gold mining areas, and they also became the image of a hardworking man, which I think is still true today. You see, like, the farmers wearing their blue jeans, and you see, like, the guys driving trucks wearing their blue jeans. It's still kind of a symbol for the hardworking man, but I feel like that was probably more important back then than it is today, and really, really solidified it into our collective conscience and
culture. Actually, the place that came from is jeans were, from what I understand, originally worn on the arms.
Yes. They got to show off their glistening muscles.
They showed off their glistening minor muscles.
Right.
Which means that the top of the jeans would be by their neck. So that's how people became like, they're called blue collar workers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like waistline.
I think you're right.
Was around their head.
Uh-huh.
But then they couldn't see because there was no
there's
head
pants.
Hole.
Yeah.
There's pants on their arms. Plus it was really difficult to like live.
You might be onto something there, but I'll have to validate that on the internet. So don't go putting it on the Wikipedia page.
Remember this. If you don't know if something's true,
just believe it blindly.
Search it on Google.
Oh.
Whatever comes up first means it's the truest.
Got it.
There's this dude. His name is Levi Strauss.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I'm so strassed out because my jeans are not comfy and durable. And then Jacob Davis came over.
oh, I've got all this durability, but I've got no jeans to apply it to. Yeah. My ideas are riveting. And then they're like, hey, you've got your riveting in my jeans. And the other guy
said,
you've
got your jeans in my riveting.
And then some guy that was off to the side said,
are those rivets in your pockets? You're just happy to see me. Pachow, pachow, shoot guns.
Okay, good.
Good. I think that's history right there. I will say there is some more chemistry and inner workings as to how jeans get more comfortable as you wash them. It is a real thing due to the way that it's dyed. But in the interest of time, I will allow our listeners to go research it themselves. And I will also plug our website because I do have articles pertaining to that on our website. So if you want to go to strangerstillshow.com, you can check that out alongside our episode. If you're already on our website and listening to this episode, high five to you. Yeah. Oh, you just high-fived yourself.
Yeah, you were kind of far away. Plus, I like me. I'm not implying that I don't like you.
Oh.
But I don't.
Speaking of friends that aren't really your friends, you can find us. We have a group on Facebook. Just search for Stranger Still. We'll probably come up.
They'll really be your friends. But they're strangers. So it's a double reference.
We also have a Twitter.
At Stranger Still.
Yep. And I think that covers everything. We're a new podcast, so make sure that you subscribe to us. Every Wednesday, we'll be putting out episodes.
Make sure to get us views and reviews on the iTunes.
Helps us out as a new podcast. We'll appreciate it more than you can imagine. And I think that closes everything out. So, John.
I'm still John.
And I'm still Nick. And this has been Stranger Stuff.